T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Tom, even you can make that one, dude.
Here we go. Chuck, you save yourself $50,000. I willed that one out. I split my pants.
Dale Arnold.
If a negotiation falls apart, the blame goes to both sides. This sport cannot go dark for 18 months. Basically, refuse to get back on the field over economic reasons.
Rich Keith.
I didn't say they should have watched that movie. I said they accidentally did because it definitely veered off of sort of, oh, yeah, let's watch Avengers. Oh, yeah, let's watch these.
Logan's
and then, oh, my
incredible.
God.
Dale and Keith with Andy Hart.
That's a great freaking question, Dale.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Fourth and final hour, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI. No Rich today. He's off, in fact, for the whole week, and good for him. Enjoy the week. We've got, a variety of people who will join us throughout the course of the week. My buddy Andy Hart will be here for, 3 days this week, I think?
Yes, indeed.
And we like that. Now, a Twitter follower, and I promise we'll get right back to the calls with you guys. I said I don't remember specifically where Lance Armstrong went out and tried to take somebody out at the knees the way we saw Ryan Braun do. And somebody pointed out to me that Frankie Andreu might. This was the so-called whistleblower for the cycling world.
Yep.
And Lance Armstrong testified that Frankie Andreu doped for the majority of his career. So he did try to take this guy out.
Yeah, I think there are more of those than you're recalling, right, and I kind of have them in the back of my mind. I don't remember all the details. I think he crushed, Greg LeMond? What was that ending? I forget the exact details of that. But I think there are more similarities to Braun along the way than you might think.
And you may be right. As I said, I don't remember them, but thank you to Gary, who follows us on Twitter, who said he tried to ruin Frankie Andreu and his wife. Lance was like a mafia boss.
Ouch.
I mean, if you go after Frankie Andreu, that's one thing. If you go after a man's wife, that's sort of another, isn't it?
Yeah, I do think that's a bit of a line to cross.
Yeah, do you think? All right, back to the calls with you guys. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. John's in East Boston. Hey, John.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Great.
What's up?
A couple things. One of the reasons why all the greatest of all times aren't all sparkly clean is we have a tendency as a society and as people to, when somebody reaches their peak, to chop them down. So there's always a digging going on to find out where the dirt is on these people.
Right.
That said, there's varying degrees of depth that you need to go. There's varying degrees of depth that you need to go before you can find anything. One of the things I found interesting about Jordan is why it took so long for this documentary to come out. And my theory on this is there's much more to the Jordan gambling story than they led on to in the documentary, obviously. And the general acceptance of sports gambling in America, even over the last 5 years, has loosened up to the point where Jordan can freely talk about $50,000 on a golf match or, you know, going to Atlantic City with his old man and gambling, even though he had a game the next day. There's a whole host of that that got into this documentary. I think there's a whole lot more to it, too. I'm one of the believers that the reason he played baseball was because he was such a degenerate gambler that he might have been forced out of the league for a year before anything came out.
His dad was killed under perception, and I don't know if it's true or not. He
right.
claims it isn't, but it's certainly valid to wonder.
It is, and his dad died under very mysterious circumstances as well. So there's a whole lot of uncertainty when it comes to gambling in Jordan. And, you know, again, why did it take 10 years for this to come out? It could have come out easily 5 years ago and been just as dramatic.
Well, there was some thought that there's a tie-in to LeBron James. I've heard stories, and
yeah,
I haven't verified this.
I've seen it.
Yeah, that he decided to do this, like when, you know, he brought the title to Cleveland, and maybe there was some question of his greatness, and was he going to be challenged as the greatest basketball player of all time, and he needed to remind people sort of his greatness, and that was part of this. And I don't know. I mean, I really don't have an answer. Could it be marketing? You know, could this be a long-term play to, you know, increase the Jordan brand, recreate the Jordan aura for another generation of people that are going to go out and buy sneakers and clothes from the Jordan brand? I don't know.
You came up with one that was excellent. You know, one of the greats who apparently wasn't an a-hole, and Bobby Orr is a great example. I can give you another one locally who popped into my head, you know, when we were at the break. John Havlicek's another one.
Yep.
There is nobody who's got anything bad to say about John Havlicek.
The only thing I will say is I'm not sure he's quite as high on the ladder.
But
no, Bobby Orr is in.
No, but he's still Hall of Fame.
Right.
You know, great, great player. He is certainly not. You know, Bobby Orr's in the argument for best who's ever played the game, and Havlicek isn't.
Right.
But he's pretty darn good.
Let me ask you a question, a guy I'm just going to spitball out there because I don't really know what I think of the perception of him, Jerry Rice. Is he a good guy?
I don't know him well enough.
I don't
know him at all. I mean, I've talked to him a couple of times. The perception is that he was a pretty good guy, but I don't know.
But, I mean, you're talking about, for a while there, people, the greatest football player, certainly the greatest receiver of all time. He was thought of for a long period of time. And I wonder what he is sort of thought of. I'm like you. I don't know enough of the inner workings of the 49ers or when he moved on and all of that. But Jerry Rice is pretty high on that list, I would think. He certainly hasn't had any major scandals, right?
No, not that I know of. I mean, the closest you'd come is, you know, the stick-em on his hands. He was cheating, you know, quote-unquote.
Right. So, you know, that's
which
one.
Isn't quite the same as juicing like Lance Armstrong was doing.
Right. And then you get into questions of cheating the sport or, you know, like Tiger Woods, it was more about his life, his wife, his family, and then maybe some substances and various addictions and those types of things. Whereas I don't know that Tiger Woods has ever been accused. Well, I think there's some people that have questions about his workout regimen over the years at times. But for the most part, Tiger, I think, has been seen as a clean golfer when he's actually on the course.
617-779-7937. John's in Easton. Hey, John.
How you doing?
Doing great. How are you?
Okay, so in terms, I want to weigh in on the whole topic about Brady being unhappy last year and whose fault it was, if you want to use the word fault. But, you know, number one, in terms of Belichick, he went out and drafted a wide receiver in the first round, which he never does. He brought in Antonio Brown, and you know, a couple of things. Brady is buddies with Gronk. Maybe if Brady had told Gronk, you know, earlier in the offseason, you got to let us know if you're coming back or not, because it's going to impact the team, that would help. Gronk screwed them. He screwed them big time, because they could have had potentially Jared Cook if they knew Gronk wasn't coming back, all right? The other thing is, Brady should have been at OTAs. He had young receivers. You know, by not going, he didn't build a chemistry with them 2 years in a row. So I'm a little sick and tired of some of the narrative that Belichick screwed him, because I think Brady's got to is equally as much of whatever the word you want to use, dirt on his hands for why they maybe were dysfunctional last year. You know, he's the only quarterback for two straight years that didn't go to OTAs. Okay?
John, I'm with you, John. I think you've put this perfectly.
He has to own that. And the other thing, you know, Belichick brought in AB, which most teams wouldn't do. And maybe Brady should have took him aside and said, listen, we're giving you a chance. You got to stay clean. Okay. So, you know, I can't take it out on Belichick. He drafted the number one. He brought in AB. You know, he wasn't his fault that Gronk waited and screwed him out of Jared Cook the whole bit. So I want to leave with that. And frankly, I think Gronk is a complete douche. I really do.
Why? Whoa! Why?
Like that.
Why?
Because I just think I think he knew he wasn't coming back. I don't think it was a last minute decision. And, you know,
I can tell you, based on people I've talked to, it was a last-minute decision.
Oh, okay, well, then I'm wrong, okay? But, you know, him being upset about his salary, You know, he accepted a long-term contract extension from the Patriots after his second season.
Right.
He was the highest-paid tight end in the league. So if he could have waited till his rookie contract was up and gone to free agency or looked for money. He took the contract, and, you know, they treated him well there. So I just think that there's more to the entire story than just one little piece that Belichick screwed Brady, and I want to leave it at that for you guys.
John, that's a good call, and I think it's very fair. There's a reason Paul Harvey made hundreds of millions of dollars over the years for having the rest of the story.
Yeah.
Generally, the superficial angle on any story is very limited. And I think a lot of what John said, both about Brady and Gronk, is right. I would just bristle at the Gronk's a douche part, because he's not.
I'm going to make excuses here. There may not be an athlete in recent memory who's done more for more people,
correct,
quietly, privately. There may not be anybody who's done as much.
100% agree, and he's a genuine human being. Now, we can all criticize individual decisions that people make, especially when money is involved in your place of employment, right? I mean, money's a game changer sometimes with how people react in certain situations. But I don't think John's wrong. Gronk got an early contract that gave him a lot of financial stability long term. He got it early, so it wasn't quite as big as maybe it could have been. Now, I often side with NFL players that when you have leverage, I would advise you to use it. Like, ask to renegotiate, ask for a raise. But I would also argue, when Gronk was on the field, yes, he was underpaid. But he also wasn't always on the field. So he was overpaid at that time, right? He wasn't contributing to the team, and he was still collecting very good paychecks.
Through no fault of his own, by the way.
No. But you average all that out.
In other words, he wasn't soft. He wasn't
No.
I mean, he was getting injuries because he played so damn hard and would never give up on a play or give up on a route.
But he wasn't available.
Right.
And
no,
for
that's fair.
Bill Belichick's perspective was, you're not always available. I'm paying a lot of money to you when you're not available. Yes, you're giving us great contributions when you are available. So I do think there's an averaging out there, just like I think there's an averaging out of the Brady-Belichick divorce. Brady changed. Brady had different priorities. Brady reacted to certain actions by the team and by Bill Belichick over the last couple years. Could he have acted differently? Maybe. Same way divorces go in regular life, right? A lot of times, okay, somebody cheated. So, yep, it was obvious you cheated on your wife. You're a dink. You deserve to be divorced. A lot of them are just people that grow older, responsibilities change, finances change, kids change, and they both do things that inject a little animosity into the relationship that goes down a road of divorce. And I think that's what happened with Belichick and Brady.
I will say this. I at least from afar, it doesn't seem as though Belichick changed much.
Nope.
If anything, he softened over the years.
Correct.
He didn't get worse, is what I'm saying.
Nope.
There are those who say, you know, he tried. He tried to ease up a little bit. He didn't get worse with players and treat them worse, you know, in the last couple of years than he did earlier. He was a pretty consistent force in that regard.
No question. And that's why I think Mike Lombardi's recent comment when he said Brady, on this very station, by the way, with the OMF boys, Brady tired of the culture he built. He was a co-builder of the Patriot way in New England. And him falling in line behind Bill Belichick and being the perfect soldier created a culture that was so successful for so long. And then at some point, Tom Brady's priorities and feelings and desires and positivities changed where it didn't really work for him anymore in that culture. And that's just the reality.
617-779-7937. Right back to the calls with you, Dale and Keefe. Andy Hart's in for Rich, and it's time to trend.
Now back to Dale and Keefe.
I'll let this cat out of the bag on WEEI.
I mean the culture. I mean, we're not going to tweet. We're going to talk about the team. I mean, you're talking, he built the culture. He built the culture. You know, the very culture he built, he got tired of being in because it limited his afterlife of football. That's natural.
Lombardi says that Tom Brady helped build the culture, and he did, along with the other very prominent names we could go through, Willie McGinnis and Teddy Bruschi and, you know, the whole host of guys, but that Brady just ultimately got sick of the culture that he helped build.
Yeah, and I mean, if you've watched Tom Brady over the years, you've seen how he's changed, whether it's personally, professionally, business partnerships, lifestyle, and it's normal. People change as they age and as they get married and have children and, you know, their career changes, the arc and their finance, whatever it may be. Like, he joked on the golf thing about the when they pranked him and Drew put his things, the purple things in his socks.
Made his feet purple right. for weeks.
And he said, you know, I learned early on, you know, don't fire back to people that make a lot more money than you. And then he goes, fortunately, over the years, there were some young players coming in and I had more money. And, you know, like things change. Your lot in life changes. Your spot in life changes. I don't necessarily blame him. It's every right of his to say, I want to spend time with my family in the off season. Now, people are going to question it when you spend time, then you don't spend time, then you go to a new team and you start spending time with the new team and not your family. Like, you're going to leave that door ajar for interpretation, but you certainly have that right.
617-779-7937. Michael is in Lynn. Hey, Michael.
How you guys doing today?
How's the best caller on Boston Sports Talk Radio doing today, Michael?
I'm all right, man. Listen, man, you already know what time it is. Brady made Bill Belichick, point blank, period. You said it yourself, Hart. Belichick been coaching for 45 years.
Yes.
So he had 25 years to win without Brady, and he didn't do it. He didn't do it on your own. Okay? The reason why they got the worst quarterback room, the worst wide receiver room, the worst tight end room, whose fault is that? Bill Belichick changed, okay? He went from doing whatever's best for the team to now it's all about Don Shula, okay? So all you guys calling in, talking all that rubbish, stop with it. Because before the quarterback number 12 was here, you had nothing. You were a joke. Your games were blacked out. I got to remind you people because you all are ungrateful in what you're saying.
Michael.
You're ungrateful.
Michael, rewind for just a second. It's all about Don Shula, which is a reference to the all-time wins record, correct?
Right.
Yep.
So how is it better off for Bill to have a bad quarterback room, wide receiver room, and tight end room when he's trying to win football games? Explain that to me.
He is the one that's in charge of everything, right? Y'all like to give him all the credit, even when he doesn't deserve it, so you got to give him the blame.
No, you're not answering the question,
you
though,
can
Michael.
Give him the blame and say he has screwed up personnel decisions, but he is still trying to win. He wants to win maybe now more than ever.
Really?
Yes,
does it look
really.
Like that?
You just
does
said it.
Really
it. Look? You just said it yourself.
He has the worst. That's what he wants to do, but he got an overinflated ego of his own self. He ain't done anything without Tom Brady. He's under 500. Okay. And you guys going to keep stroking his ego and telling him that he's the greatest all time with his 7 losing seasons as a coach. Okay? Stop it.
Okay,
stop it.
Relax.
The documentaries, the raps, everything is coming. The narrative ain't going to get told how you guys think it's going to get told. It's going to get told truthfully. He ran Gronk out of here. Jared Cook didn't come here because why? Who ruined that? That was Bill Belichick. Adam Humphries, he could have came here. He took less money to go somewhere else. That's because Bill Belichick's the greatest, right?
No, that's because Bill Belichick misplayed those financial situations.
Yeah,
as he's done many.
He's a cheap bastard who doesn't want to pay nobody.
No, he's done it the same way over the years, and it's worked for him. He did the same thing with Devin McCourt.
It's not going to work anymore because you,
Michael, it's a salary cap league. They pay to the cap just like everybody else does.
When your star players don't want to play with you no more, you sound foolish with the
he's a cheap bastard who won't pay anybody.
Okay, so why is all of his star players leaving? All they can do is pay washed-up defensive players when he can't play his power players? Okay.
So
good job.
They are leaving in part because of finances, no doubt. They've also been worn down by the Patriot way, the Belichick way, whatever you want to call it, right?
Just call it what it is. The toilet bowl can't flush fast enough with Bill Belichick in it. The Patriots will have their ways back, their winning ways back when they get rid of him. Yes,
okay.
They need to get rid of him.
He's washed up.
He can't coach. He can't draft. Put anybody in there. Put youthful guy in there who can win. Don't put the old 70-year-old dude who can't even answer questions when he wins.
Let's get Adam Gase in here. He's younger. He'd be good, right?
Anybody other than Bill Belichick. He's 70 years old. How much longer does he got? Okay,
Adam Gase would be better than Bill Belichick.
You're quick to talk about how much Brady got left. How much does Bill Belichick got left?
The greatest caller in the history of sports talk radio sounds foolish if you think Adam Gase would be better than Bill Belichick.
You just carry his water, and that's okay. When it blows up in your face, don't try to 180, Dale. Don't try to 180 when he's 4-12.
I don't think they'll be 4-12. I mean, I think Buffalo's a better team than they are in the division next year. But 4-12 is a little hard for me to picture.
Yeah, Michael struggled with that call. I usually really like Michael, but when he said the reason they don't have talent at quarterback, wide receiver, and tight end is because of Don Shula, Bills chasing a wins record, the connect of logic between it's better to be less talented to chase wins, that seems flawed, Dale, to me. Seems flawed.
You would want him, if you're Bill Belichick and you're trying to chase down Don Shula, and he probably is, you want your team to be as good as it can be.
Right. I'd argue you could, if you wanted to make that comment, the reason he overpaid Antonio Brown and gave Antonio Brown a bad contract last year was Don Shula. Okay, there's some logic there. You were so lustful to win. You were worried you didn't have the talent. You sold yourself out to this guy who was, you know, just kicked out of Oakland. But how would it make sense to have the worst personnel? He has screwed up. Haven't we all talked about that? He may have mismanaged in consecutive off seasons two GOATs, Rob Gronkowski and Tom Brady. Whether you say it's financial mismanagement, emotional mismanagement.
Well, we should point out that Rob Gronkowski retired.
No, but I'm saying he pushed him towards retirement. Maybe had he treated him differently without those incentives and escalators, if he didn't try to trade him, the buttons he pushed over the end of Rob Gronkowski, you can convince me easily he mismanaged that. You can convince me he did the same with Tom, that he should have given him the extension last year or he shouldn't have given him the incentives a year ago and all of these things. But I'm sorry, you cannot sell me on the idea that this is like Major League and Bill is suddenly trying to put together this roster of talent that stinks while he chases a wins record. That's one of the more illogical things I've ever heard on these airwaves, and I work with Mark James for 4 hours every Saturday.
And I got to be honest with you, the whole, you know, he's a cheap bastard and he won't pay anybody anything. That sounds like the same conspiracy theorists out there who think that Bill Belichick gets to put the money that he doesn't spend on players into his back pocket
right,
or something.
Right. It also is a struggle when you say the Patriots are in cap jail and they don't pay anybody. How'd they get in cap jail if they didn't pay anybody?
Now, if you want to say that they haven't spent their money wisely,
ding, 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 yourself ding.
An argument.
I would be very strong in that camp that you're paying Tom Brady $13 million to not play for you, that you're paying Antonio Brown $4.5 million or whatever it is to not play for you, that you gave long-term or multi-year extensions to Devin McCourty at nearly $12 million a year, that you have a couple guards that are combined making $25-plus million a year for a line that was not very good a year ago. Dale, you can sell me on they've mismanaged some money.
Absolutely.
You can't sell me on he doesn't try to win and he doesn't try to put a talented roster together.
And he
together.
Doesn't pay his players.
Right. It is just blasphemy.
Jim's in Holyoke. Hey, Jim.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
What's going on?
Hey, so, you know, a couple seasons ago, we win the Super Bowl by morphing ourselves into a running team in the playoffs, and Sony Michel scores all those touchdowns. And I think a lot of people are really underselling the effect of injuries last year to the running game. Losing your starting center, you lose two starting fullbacks, you lose your starting left guard. And so all of a sudden you're running game and Michelle seems to go off the table. Now you're relying on a passing game where your number one draft pick is out half the season. And, you know, Josh Gordon flakes out on you there. And you pick up Sununu when he can't stay healthy and stuff. I really think people are underplaying the effect of injuries on this team last year.
Yeah, it was definitely an effect. And you listed them, and they're accurate. Now, I would say, more often than not, isn't that one of those things you got in the press release every week from the Patriots over the years? Oh, they've overcome more injuries than anybody in football. They've got all these people on IR and games missed to injury. They weren't able to do it. And that gets back to sort of that Brady question. Why was he almost always able to overcome everything? You know, whether it's 06 and his receivers are Doug Gabriel and Richey Caldwell, and he's within a sniff of the Super Bowl. And suddenly it didn't play out this way. Is that him? Is that age? Was it too many injuries? Too many at the same position, the offensive line? Yeah, I mean, that happens to every team every year. The reality is, for 20 years in New England, you kind of laughed at those excuses for other teams because Tom Brady and Bill Belichick always found a way to overcome them. This year, they didn't really do
now,
that.
Now, Michael and Lynn will tell you it was Tom Brady who figured out how to overcome him. Bill Belichick had nothing
right,
to do with it.
Right, nothing to do with it. Along for the ride. Now, see, that's where I get it. These are my, I said it earlier when we were talking about the coronavirus. I get annoyed at the people that are overly conservative. I get annoyed at the people that are overly aggressive in return. Politics, if you're overly left or overly right, I get angry with you. If you're over the top, Belichick stinks and Brady's the reason, or the opposite, Belichick's great and Brady's overrated, I just can't take you seriously because the reality is in the middle somewhere, just like it is with almost all of these great debates.
Chuck's in Plymouth. Hey, Chuck.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I want to weigh in on the Belichick-Brady scenario. But first thing I wanted to say is that I lived in Tampa Bay, actually about maybe 2 miles from Derek Jeter's house. And if you may remember when the old Yankee Stadium opened up, that they had a David Ortiz jersey that was pulled out of the cement inside Jeter's house. Well, I wanted to let you know that my brother was working for an HVAC company putting in Jeter's house that week, and he buried a David Ortiz jersey inside the wall of the master bedroom where the dry and it's there today. Dale, I swear to God, that's the truth.
Really?
But that is absolutely the truth. He said, hey, you know what happened in New York City where they pulled the Ortiz jersey out of the concrete? He goes, well, I just stuffed a David Ortiz jersey in the wall. In between the drywall where they put the, R11 insulation. So
that's
kind
tremendous.
Of a funny story.
God, I want that
there.
To be a true story.
Oh, I'm just
really
going with it. It's where true. It's true in my mind, Dale.
I swear on my mother's soul that's a true story. So what I want to say about Belichick and Brady is this, is that I think that both of them right now are out to, grind an axe and prove that they're the one that can win. And I think that you could only, a coach can only do so much. Because he can trade players, he can manipulate this, that, and the other thing. He can try to build the best team he can to win. But when you put the fire under a legend's ass, he is going to go out there and prove to everybody that, yep, I am the man. I think that's the difference between what's going on with Brady and Belichick. And I think that from the beginning of time, that they always wondered how they could do without the other. And now it's finally happening. And I think that, Brady's at the end of his career. But I do think that there's going to be a chance for him to really prove that he can win in Tampa Bay. Your thoughts, guys?
No question that he is better set up to win immediately. And I think inherently the player, especially a quarterback, has the ability to maybe control that. Assuming he doesn't fall off the Max Kellerman cliff and he suddenly looks older than he's ever looked. Whereas Bill Belichick, and some of it of his own doing, we just talked about it, salary cap and things, didn't have the ability necessarily to treat this like 2007 and go out and get, these free agents and make these trades and restack the roster and get a new quarterback. At best, he has a bridge year here where next year with the cap space, he might have the ability to go retool. But that could be a year late. Tom Brady, I mean, where was he? He was rising up the ranks and Scheim can fill me in, whatever it was. He's, a top five Super Bowl contender in Tampa Bay now based on the odds in Vegas. So he has the opportunity to continue competing for Super Bowls immediately and adding to his legend.
Owen's in Cambridge. Hey, Owen.
Yeah, I just want to say that I'm just very thankful of Bill Belichick and his contribution to winning as a leader, just in terms of an example. There's a certain standard that he has set in coaching. So to hear that he should leave and that he doesn't deserve credit for and Brady carried this whole, dynasty is just absurd to me. I mean, Belichick, you don't hear Belichick talking. You don't hear him out there. He just does his job, and he just does it with an impeccable, commitment and just intelligence and integrity. And you can't deny the fact. Yeah, maybe Brady, but to be honest, I honestly think that if Brady had been picked by any other team, like say if you put Brady in Carson Palmer's shoes or in Andy Dalton's shoes, you never would have heard of Tom Brady. Tom Brady is a total product of a system. It could have been anyone. It could have been Drew Brees. It could have been, it could have been, I'm not saying Castle, but the fact is that, Belichick is buttressed. He is scaffolded. Every one of these athletes, Bill Parcells never won without Belichick. The chances are that Brady wins a Super Bowl without Belichick are very slim. Chances that Brady would ever be a competent quarterback without Gronkowski are very slim. He never did anything without Gronkowski on the field.
He had a Hall of Fame. Whoa. I always like to stop callers when they really go far afield. Brady was a Hall of Fame quarterback without Rob Gronkowski.
No, he wasn't.
Yes,
Brady
he was.
Is, look at his stats. Brady
I did. Did you watch 2007?
He has a ratings of a quarterback.
50 touchdowns. And at that point, he already had 3 Super Bowl rings from 01 to 07. He proved he could dink and dunk. He could win with a defense. He then proved he could go out and be Peyton Manning and light up the skies if you gave him receivers like Wes Welker and Randy Moss. So Tom Brady was indeed a Hall of Fame quarterback before Rob Gronkowski stepped a single foot in Foxborough.
a Hall of Fame is a kind of a reach, to be honest. I think I put him on a Carson
Palmer. He was the greatest passer of all time, and he had three Super Bowl rings. How many times did Carson Palmer do that?
Well, yeah, that's because with Belichick and the scaffolding. And
the scaffolding. That scaffolding worked so well in Cleveland. It worked so well with Drew Bledsoe in 2000, early in 2001. That buttressing was kicking butt, wasn't it?
Now, there are the opposite ends of the spectrum.
Michael set from me
Lynn,
off.
Michael from Lynn says it is all Belichick. Brady had it's all Brady. Belichick had nothing to do with it. Owen is just the opposite. That Tom Brady wouldn't even be in the Hall of Fame if it weren't for Rob Gronkowski, which is absurd, by the way.
And both callers can be equally wrong, right? The reality is in the middle. I've said it a million times. If Tom Brady and Bill Belichick had not been married up, in part due to the Mo Lewis hit, I think there's a chance the two greatest of all time, or arguably the greatest of all time, would have never amounted to anything. Bill gets fired. He's in his second stint. It's over. Tom Brady, new coach, comes in. Oh, he's the nice young six-round pick, but he might get kicked out of town. He might bounce around to a couple teams, never really get his fair shot, never develop under the tutelage of a good coach. There is a chance that the greatest sports combination in NFL history may have never been.
And the idea that they buttress, and what's the other word he used besides buttress? I forget.
I don't know. Scaffolded or something.
Yeah,
scaffolded.
They buttressed and scaffolded.
He's got a construction background, I think.
Each other. That Belichick has a lot of his Hall of Fame credentials are based on the play of Tom Brady. And Tom Brady's Hall of Fame credentials are buttressed by having, in my mind, the greatest coach who ever played. Why is it an either or for people?
They can both be really among the
best at what they do. I think Brady's the best quarterback who ever lived. I think Belichick's the best coach.
And you're allowed to have that. And I will allow either side to really speak strongly in their various arguments. But when they cross the line and they say something like Michael did, he crossed the line. Oh, he's just pursuing Shula. He doesn't even want to have good players anymore. That makes no sense. That's illogical.
Pursuing Shula, and he is.
You might want to have good players.
Wouldn't you want to have the best players you can have?
And then when
By the
Owen,
way, it's also okay, and he may be wrong, but I think in Bill Belichick's mind, he's been very hesitant for a couple of years now to put the fortunes of the franchise in the hands of a 40, 41, 42-year-old quarterback. He thinks that that's going to lead to a problem.
He's been hesitant since he drafted Jimmy Garoppolo. That was the reason. He had reason to believe. We like to mock Max Kellerman, and for good reason. But Bill felt similar in some ways, right? He was preparing for a quarterback who could age, who could fall off the map, who could not be as good. I need to be ready. I can't be irresponsible, the word he used when the Colts sucked for luck when Peyton Manning got hurt. So it's okay for him to question it. That's what he's learned over 45 years and being, a human being and seeing people age and saying, oh, that guy got old overnight. I've used the comparison recently.
And frankly, history would be on Belichick's side in that.
Correct.
Tom Brady is defying what history tells you happens to quarterbacks in the National Football
League. And has defied. Like, even if it falls apart now, he has defied the normal course of events for aging athletes, aging quarterbacks. But then there are outliers, and that's why they are the greats. And, Bill's an outlier in his ability to move on, I would say. That's part of his greatness as a coach. Did he do it wrong this time? Was it not? Maybe. And maybe Tom's greatness will continue. Maybe he will be the outlier and continue to play till 43, 44, 45, whatever. But the reality is they were better together. That's a simple fact that they were better together. And if you're gonna say something like, oh, Brady wasn't any good till Gronkowski arrived, and that guy sounded old. It's not like he was young and didn't know what happened in the era. The guy sounded like he was, I don't know, 50 60. Did he sleep through the early 2000s, the three Super Bowl rings, and then the absolute breaking of the records where every game was 35-0 at halftime because Brady, I don't know, seemed like he was throwing to some people not named Gronkowski that year? Now, you could argue maybe he has had Hall of Fame talent and that's helped along the way, but I think most guys do. You ever hear of Montana? He had a pretty good coach and a pretty good receiver. That's the way it works.
As an actual Patriots fan, shouldn't we be rooting for both of these guys to succeed long term? Shouldn't that be the end goal? Is it just like they go their separate ways? One still wins, the other still wins, everybody wins.
Yeah, sure. But see, it's either or in this world now.
If you're a Democrat or a Republican.
Yeah, if I want Bill Belichick to succeed, Tom Brady has to fail.
That's so silly.
And it's not now. We saw this in the beginning. You were either a Bledsoe guy or a Brady guy. There were some passionate arguments back then with equal idiocy as we are seeing now with this. Same thing. I love the passion. I hate the information.
Well, and it is certainly fair to say that Bill Belichick would not do what he's done without Tom Brady. Yes, that's true. Tom Brady wouldn't have done what he's done without Bill Belichick.
Most likely. Now we can play the hypotheticals in both directions, right? I like these games, too.
Yeah, what if Aaron Rodgers had come here instead?
Or, they would have broken up in year four because Aaron Rodgers is a dink and would have never fallen in line for 20 years with the Patriot way with Bill Belichick. What if Tom Brady had Bill Walsh? Yeah, I think they would have done pretty well, actually.
Yeah. But under the circumstances, the legitimate, real circumstances that you were facing, chances are good, you know, Tom Brady wouldn't have become the greatest quarterback who ever lived if he wasn't playing here for this organization. And by the way, that doesn't mean just Bill Belichick. You know, he was blessed to have some great offensive coordinators down through the years, an offensive system that stayed in place where you think about, and I'm not a huge Baker Mayfield guy, but how many, you know, offensive coordinators and head coaches has he had already in his young career?
And Tom Brady has talked about that, how he benefited from playing in the same system the entirety of his career in New England. But, you know, you mentioned, you know, what would have happened with Tom Brady. We saw it in college for Tom Brady. Tom Brady was a good player at Michigan, but there was a coach there that was not all in on him. You know, other factors led to Drew Henson playing, and then said coach ended up going with Tom Brady, giving him the job, winning the Orange Bowl, saying that guy's the best winner in college football, best quarterback in college, because he learned his lesson. But if that lesson gets learned in the NFL for Tom Brady in a different city with a different coach, and how does it get learned and how long does it take, that derails the early part of his career, right? He would have changed. Maybe he's still a Hall of Famer. Maybe he gets the opportunity and becomes a Pro Bowler. He would not have become what he has become without Bill Belichick.
What else you got coming up next? That includes a challenge to Rob Gronkowski, who we were just talking about a moment ago. Dale and Keith, Andy's in for Rich, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Dale and Keith.
Middays 10 to 2.
On WEEI.
All right, let's get to a couple of things we might have missed earlier in the program.
What else you got?
Andy?
Dale, I'm going to do a what else I got before I get to my real what else I got here.
Okay.
Did you happen to see the tweet I sent out? They look real. Talking about cookies here, Dale, just so we're sure.
And they're spectacular.
Yes, a Chips Ahoy Sour Patch Kids cookie.
Oh, yuck.
You're not intrigued at all?
No.
I'm usually a sucker for these things, Dale.
How to ruin a perfectly good cookie.
And they look good, though. They have like these specks of Sour Patch Kids and then these multicolored chips.
First of all, you're a grown man. You shouldn't be eating Sour Patch Kids.
Sour Patch Kids are delicious, Dale.
Yeah, Dale.
Okay, I rest my case.
I'll be honest with you, Dale. I bought Sour Patch Kids ice cream. Wasn't that good? Actually, threw it out. It was inedible.
Just eat the Sour Patch Kids, Andy.
No, but I'm a gimmick.
And like the watermelons, those ones are fantastic.
But I love the gimmick. I love when you bring things together. It's like crossover episodes with superheroes and stuff. Yes!
I put a Reese on a s'more this weekend. Does that count?
A Reese? Yeah, we've done that. Sometimes it's out of necessity. You don't have enough chocolate in the house. You're like, oh, we want a s'mores. Well, you do a Reese's. Yeah, we actually did that last night.
So I will add my sort of book leading up to the what else you got as well. There has been this animal that has shown up in my backyard.
You need a
couple
gun.
Of weeks ago, first time I saw it, and I went, what the hell is that? Because it was not something I had seen. And, you know, my brother and my brother-in-law both up in Maine, I asked about this and that, and they were saying, well, maybe it's this, maybe it's that.
Yeti.
It showed up today. It came back, and I got a picture of it. And I'm watching it chase this squirrel around this tree, doing about 100 miles an hour. And I finally got a picture of it on the wall right behind my house.
Fisher cat.
It's a fisher.
Yeah!
Which I have never seen around here.
Yeah, and you don't want to see them. They're bad news.
Yeah, but that's only if they're cornered and injured. I mean, generally speaking, they will avoid humans and they'll take off.
Yeah, but what about cats, small dogs, squirrels?
I don't have either of those.
What about squirrels? You get one of them.
Well, he was trying to get that squirrel in that tree. I had never seen a fisher around here.
Yeah, I saw one once, and it wasn't chasing anything. I thought it was like a ferret or something, and I asked a friend, and I sent him a picture like you, and he's like, God, that's a fisher. And then I never saw it again, so I stopped worrying. Because at first, I was a little freaked out, because people tell you those things are like badass.
Yeah, well, they look badass, but I did get a picture
of it.
Aren't
their cries like insanely weird, too?
I believe so. Coyotes down by me. Yeah,
I don't know this, but I sent the picture off to my brother and my brother-in-law, and they both came back and said, yep, that's a fisher. That's what you got in your backyard.
Did they tell you to get a gun and shoot it?
No, they've got guns. They'll come down and shoot it for
oh,
me.
Oh, you're going to... I actually had a friend who volunteered. He goes, I'll throw a little meat in your backyard to lure it out, and I'll shoot it. I was like, I don't think that's
good
okay.
Good plan. Yeah, that's,
that seems aggressive.
That's illegal.
I bet my wife will love that plan. Yeah, sure. Just trot it right out here.
She'd rather you do her hair than do that, I think, Dale.
All right. Anyway, go ahead with yours first.
Okay. So, Dale, what is today?
Monday, Memorial Day.
Memorial Day. There are a few NFL teams that have actual members of the military, reserve members like the Patriots do, and I thought... You know, it was only appropriate. The Patriots put out on their social media account Joe Cardona from the Navy.
He actually wears his Navy dress uniform on flights, doesn't he?
Yeah, and he looks badass.
Oh, yeah.
Wait, you know, all these players try to look badass with, oh, I have a purple suit. I have a this suit. Oh, this costs this. Yeah, you don't look cooler than Joe Cardona, who has a legitimate government-issued naval officer suit. And he had a message for us on Memorial Day.
This is Joe Cardona, long snapper for the New England Patriots, Navy Reserve Lieutenant. On Memorial Day, we remember the heroes who paid the ultimate sacrifice for our freedoms. I ask that you take a moment to remember the heroes of every conflict, past and present, that have sacrificed so much for our great country. Thank you.
Nice.
Simple message, but to the point, and from a man who knows what he's talking about.
Who knows of which he speaks.
Yep.
And this is the time, usually on Memorial Day, they remember, you know, the great football player for the Arizona Cardinals who said, you know what, I don't need your $3.6 million because I'm going to go fight for my country.
Right.
And ultimately lost his life. But there are heroes out there, and those are among them out there.
And they're better than us, Dale.
Do you think?
Yep. Breaking news, they're better than us, Dale.
What else you got?
So mine won't be as touching or as poignant or as important as yours. Mine's going to be a challenge.
That's the whole 4 hours, Dale.
It is a challenge that has been thrown out there. Somebody has gone right at Rob Gronkowski. And I don't know, now that he doesn't play for the team I root for, I don't mind this. But the guy who's got words that he wants to throw at Rob Gronkowski is WWE superstar R-Truth.
It has become my life's mission, getting back my 24-7, 48-7, 7-Eleven, I-95 South, European, 1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue, 10-4, 4 out of 5 dentists agreed championship. Lucky for me, I have Intel. Much obliged. It has come to my attention, the current 24-7 champion is not Tom Brady, but 1A, Robert James Gronkowski, a.k.a. Rob Gronkowski, a.k.a. Gronk. Y'all, be nice to Tom Brady. Lose the 24-7 championship hurts with an S. And it hurts even worse losing it to a friend. Shame on you, Rob Gronkowski. I'm coming for you. I'll tackle any football man I have to bring my baby back home. Let that be a warning to all you football men out there, especially you, Robin Gronk.
Robin?
I don't know.
I don't want to, you know, maybe overanalyze that, but did he say 48-7? What does that mean?
He makes fun of all the different numbers. It's the 24-7. He jokes about it a lot.
1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue.
I got that part. I got the I-95 part. I got some of those.
South.
Not sure what 48-7 means, and his name is not Robin Gronkowski.
And it's not Gronkowski.
Well, he'd be robbing that belt, so he is robbing.
See, if he had said that, I would have enjoyed it.
So now the question is, because at some point here in the near future, Vince has got to get the 24-7 belt off of Rob Gronkowski, who's held it for like 50-some-odd days now.
The longest ever, right?
Longest reign. I mean, normally you hold it for like 6 minutes.
Right, because he's not there. No one can pin him.
No, they don't know where he is.
Right.
Now, he's been in this area recently. I don't know if he's yet, you know, moved down to Tampa, but they've got to come up with some sort of a way to get it off of Gronk and put it on R-Truth or somebody. And you know, is that at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers training facility when they get to get in there?
Yeah, I don't know, Dale. I don't know all the rules in this. You get a 24/7 title. I don't know the rules exactly of that, and I don't know the rules of the coronavirus pandemic we're exiting these days, Dale. So this is it's a trying time for that championship belt.
By the way, Gronk claims he's about 2 protein shakes away from his playing weight. He said. Now, he claims he only had to put about 20 pounds back on. that he had only lost about 20. Now, the bits and pieces we saw of him from, you know, TV and whatnot, he looked pretty slight, didn't he?
He did. He did. But, you know, looks can be deceiving. And, you know, sometimes you redistribute the weight, as Vince Wilfork used to say every summer. I get a simple question for you, Dale. Rob Gronkowski will excel or disappoint this season in Tampa Bay?
I think he's going to disappoint.
Me too. Even though I think he's a third option and I don't think he has to carry much of the load, I think there's going to be a disappointment in Rob Gronkowski's production for the Bucs this year.
There is a reason why he decided almost at the last minute. He was training to return to the Patriots. And his body wasn't responding and he just did not feel right. And there's a reason why he retired. As somebody who would be in position to know this stuff said to me, his back is a mess.
Yeah.
And even though he had the year off and you know, God love him, you know, reduced the weight and took some of the stress off, and I'm sure he's working, you know, the TB12 method and pliability and all that stuff, he's still got severe physical issues.
Well, the good news is, Dale, he took a lowly 6th-round pick quarterback named Tom Brady and turned him into a Hall of Famer.
After he already had a Hall of Fame career prior.
You can't take that away. He made Tom Brady the greatest ever in a Hall of Famer, so his greatness is done here.
I don't know who it is. And by the way, I meant no disrespect when I got off on my rant a few moments ago. Obviously, I should have mentioned Pat Tillman's name when I mentioned the Arizona Cardinals player who left and joined. Now, you want to look up badass? Take a look at the picture. Do a Google image search of Pat Tillman in his green beret uniform, you know, sitting in front of the American flag. That guy looks like he's out of Central Casting.
And I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt, Dale. His name goes without saying, personally.
Yeah, I think
you should have said it. But he's a legend that I think most people are well aware of the tale.
And an American hero, obviously. And literally turned down a $3.6 million contract from the Arizona Cardinals because he felt it was important to go defend his country, fight on behalf of his country, knew exactly what he was doing, the dangers he was putting himself in for, and did it anyway. And that's an impressive human being. We got to get out of here. Are you back tomorrow? I haven't looked at my list
yet. I am back tomorrow.
And I think Mutt's with us tomorrow as well.
You, me, and Mutt. Are any of us going to be in the same building?
No.
Sweet.
I think Mutt's at his Shaw's and Star Market home studio now, too.
So you guys hang out with your wives, get appetizers and snacks in every break, and I'll be slaving away in the studio.
I go upstairs to fill my water cup, and my wife goes, what are you doing up here?
Yeah, Mutt's wife brings him appetizers.
Really?
Jalapeno poppers,
wings.
Must
be nice.
Oh, yeah. And she does it in like a Hooters outfit. It's weird.
See, I've been married way longer than Mutt and his wife. I'm not getting served anything at any time here. Good to talk to you again, as always. We'll be back tomorrow. OMF is coming up next. I don't know what the congregation of... Okay, Glenn and Christian are on today. They're coming up next here on Sports Radio WEEI. Bye.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.